One more time. Good morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday. We are so glad you're here. Online church, we want to greet you this morning, or you might be just watching on demand and part of just an amazing time here at Harvest this morning. Hey, I want to just point out something that's coming up this summer, an initiative we're calling Summer Step Out. And summer isn't a break from connection. It really is a time to lean in, an invitation to connection. And this summer, we're challenging you to step out. You might ask, how do I do that? It's somebody who's going to say the first hello, make the first ask, share a table. It doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to be real. If you're not sure where to start, it can sound like, hey, how's it going? Or what's God saying to you in your life? Or what next steps are you taking to follow Jesus? We just want you to remember, as we're approaching summer, don't wait for community to find you. Be a part here at Harvest of being a community builder, Summer Step Out. All right, so we are here Easter Sunday morning. We've been praying for this and believing for this and just anticipating it. We had an amazing, We had an amazing Good Friday service. Thank you for all who attended that, and thank you for being with us today in our Come Into the Light theme for this Easter. I'm going to read the Easter story from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple. I love how John refers to himself in the third person. He's writing this story, referring to himself as the other disciple. And as you listen, it is a little bit humorous. Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. So Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple won the race. Peter reached the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he didn't go in. And then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had won the race, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. I want to just look at the phrase, if we take a couple words from the beginning and we take a couple words from the end, while it was still dark, they did not understand. While it was still dark, they didn't understand. Come into the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that there is an invitation today already to those, Father, in the room, online, Lord, to come into the brightness of your glory, into your light, into your presence today. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. Thank you for taking our sin, as our baptismal candidates demonstrated that they were identifying with. Thank you today. That if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, he will quicken our mortal bodies. We will live the abundant life promised by Jesus. Today, in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. While it was still dark, they didn't understand. Well, to get ready for today's service, I studied all of the verses that had any subject matter about light. And it wasn't light, it was a heavy study, because there's a lot of verses on the topic of light. And you might be familiar with the very first verse, right at the beginning of the Bible. It talks about light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness, say darkness. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, you probably know what's next, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light. He separated the light. There was day and there was night. And what I want you to see this morning is this isn't some kind of cosmic clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off the clapper. God didn't invent the first clapper. What we see here is we're going to see in Scripture that there's so much more going on. That God was literally motivated by the darkness. God didn't want the darkness. God began his creation, and in his creation, he wanted light. We're remembering today that Jesus was at that moment of creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the three in one were present at creation. But as I studied God being motivated by the darkness to create light, I realized that it was way more than just physical light. John chapter 1 says, in him, Jesus was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The reality today is all of us experience aspects of darkness in our lives. Sometimes we talk about, hey, I'm going through a really dark time. I'm just not myself right now. Something happens in our life and we experience loss, betrayal, or pain, and it just causes us emotionally to go to a dark place. Maybe a hardship is creating challenges and difficulties for you today. A time when your hope is waning, maybe fear is settling in. We call it a dark time. Sometimes we use our darkness for a different purpose. We use it to hide in. Because of the embarrassment or the shame, we hide in the dark. We keep secrets from others, maybe even the people closest to us. I remember I was 11 or 12 and lived in Southwest Ontario, but we would visit my nan on the West Island for Easter. And this particular Easter we were visiting, my nan had just purchased a new organ. Now, my nan didn't play organ. She said she was going to get lessons and play the organ, but I think she wanted to be like the lady at church that sat behind the organ every week. I think that was her goal. I don't know that my nan ever played the organ, but she purchased an organ, brand new, out of the crate, had it delivered to the house just before Easter, and she's showing it off. It was furniture. It had a beautiful oak case. It was stained dark, almost walnut color. It was gorgeous. And she read us grandkids the riot act. You don't touch, you stay away from the organ. You don't touch my organ. You don't play the organ. My nan was a little lady, but she was fierce. And nobody crossed Nan. And that Easter, I got my Easter gift from my mom and dad there on the West Island, and it was in a case that I loved archery, and it was a 3-piece takedown bow, and that simply means it's a recurve bow that you have a riser and two limbs, and you would put the limbs in for convenience of storage. You put the limbs into the riser, you string the bow. My dad had said to me, "You under any circumstances don't string the bow here. You wait till you get home." And I said, "That's cruel and unusual punishment, giving a kid a gift and telling him you can only look at it, you can't touch it." And so when everybody cleared out of that room, I disobeyed and I touched it. And I snapped the limbs in. I started to string the bow. And as I'm pulling the limb of the bow down, my first time, much stronger bow than I've ever had. And I didn't anticipate and the bottom limb slipped off the floor. And it hit the organ and put a large scratch in the side of the oak case. Now, luckily, it was on the side that faced a bookshelf. It was shadowy in there, and you couldn't really see it. And so my nan didn't find out about it that weekend. I was 40 when I told her it was me. True story. I was 40 when I told her. Sometimes what we do can't be hidden. Like the story of Morgan. She's a middle child of three little girls that were part of a wonderful family, mom and dad, and these three girls, and Morgan. And Morgan's mom had gone out shopping, and she found a white couch on sale. And she was really excited about the white couch because it would go perfectly in the room with the white carpet. Now, I know what you're thinking, three little girls, a white couch, and white carpet. But what you need to know about the story is the previous owners, who were childless, they put the white carpet in, and so this family was kind of, you know, stuck with it. And mom saw this white couch on clearance, and she thought it would be bad stewardship to leave it on the clearance rack. And so she purchased it and brought it home, and they put the white couch on the white carpet in the white room. Now, they told the girls, under no circumstances are you allowed to go in to the white room. We had a room like that with our boys growing up. It was green. The carpet was green, but they weren't allowed in there, kind of our museum room. That is the most ridiculous idea on planet Earth. But the girls were told, don't go in the room. One day, mom goes into the room, and she's cleaning up, and she noticed the couch doesn't just quite look right, and she starts to flip over the cushions, and when she flipped over one of the cushions, it revealed a stain, a pink stain, a large pink stain of fingernail polish all smooshed in the white couch. Mom, of course, I mean, she's, wow, what happened? And so she strategically flips the couch back over, goes and gets dad. And mom and dad call the three girls down to the room, and everything's right. But in that strategic interrogation moment, as dad reaches for the stained cushion, Morgan cracks and runs upstairs with everything she's got. Darkness can be something that we go through. It could be something that we hide in. But there's a kind of darkness that the Bible talks about that's the worst darkness of all. And the Bible refers to it as spiritual darkness. In 2 Corinthians, we read, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So that when a person doesn't understand the gospel, while it's still dark, and we didn't understand, because literally the enemy blinds the minds of people so that they can't receive God, or that they can't see this beautiful good news story of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It goes on to say they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory or the light of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Or another way to say it is that Jesus, when he walked on the earth, represented perfectly what God is like. Many of us have misconceptions about what God is like, but Jesus came to show us what God was like. And the verse goes on, for God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, that verse that we opened up, that verse as we're studying light and trying to understand it, it's not clap on, clap off, just the sunshine and day and night, but so much more is it relates to spiritual things and spiritual darkness. The God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light, a different kind of light, this light, a different light. That same God made all kinds of light. This light is not a physical light. It's the light that while we were still, it was still dark and we didn't understand, it would shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And when we look at Jesus, we literally can see the face of God. We literally begin to understand God's love, his compassion, his grace, and his mercy. While it was still dark, they did not understand. But today, Jesus invites us into the light that he shines into a spiritual place, your heart, so that you can understand as you're taking in this service how much he loves you. He loved you so much that his death upon the cross, what we call Easter, his death and his burial, his resurrection, was to shine into your life, to invite you to come into the light of a relationship with him and to know his presence. There's a story in John chapter 8. And there are some teachers in the synagogue and scribes and Pharisees who weren't representing God very well at all. In fact, they were representing God as hard, austere, far off. That if you made a wrong move, God would zap you with a bolt of lightning. That God was angry most of the time. That God wasn't happy with mankind. He was angry. They were misrepresenting God. They misunderstood what the scriptures talk about God. And so one day, they set Jesus up. And the ploy was this, that there was a woman who had been meeting up. She was a married lady, and she'd been meeting up with a man that wasn't her husband, and they were having an affair. And somehow word got out in this town that was taking place, and these religious leaders said, this is our chance. And so I don't know if they found out from the husband's private detective or they had a private detective, but they knew she was going to be in room 265 at the local hotel at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on that particular day. And so they hid outside, and when the time was right, the story as we read it in John chapter 8 is they literally busted in while they're in the very act of having sex together, interrupt that, grab the woman, and she grabs a sheet. She's not covered with anything except the sheet that she goes out with, covered up, and they bring her out to where Jesus is teaching that day in front of a crowd. Completely humiliating her. You talk about coming into the light. This is not a good light. Completely humiliating. Completely shaming her. The dignity for a human being out the window in the name of God. And so as they present her to Jesus, they say, hey, she was caught in the act of adultery. And somebody, the very act, saw it with their own eyes. That says something, doesn't it? And as she's standing there clinging to her sheet, they said to Jesus, what do you say we should do? Well, the Old Testament law that nobody could fulfill, nobody could keep, the punishment of that crime was death. And the Old Testament was clear that the punishment of sin is death. And that particular adulterous sin would require by the law a stoning, a public stoning. And so they said to Jesus, what do you think we should do? Jesus knew that if he said stone her, that he would be caught in her taking her very life. If he said let her go, then he would be accused of not keeping the law. So Jesus bent down for a minute to think this over, and he doodled in the sand for a minute, collected his thoughts. He said, I have an answer. Let the person who's without sin cast the first stone. And he waited. See, the Bible is clear that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has been born separated from God. None of us could fulfill the law that was in the Old Testament. The reason it was there was that God wanted to show mankind that no one was capable. And man tried to prove that they could and get super religious and just try to be good all of the time to find God. And God said, that's not the way you find me. That is darkness. And Jesus representing his Father in that moment, knowing that he would fulfill the law for all of us. Each one of them, not one of them was sinless, couldn't throw the stone. And he bent down, reassured the woman of her dignity, and he whispered in her ear that day, and he said, your accusers, where are they? She said, they're not here. Who condemns you? She said, no one. He said, neither do I condemn you. The Bible says that there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, that there's mercy and grace, there's forgiveness of sin. He invited her that day to come into the light. She said, Lord, there are no accusers. He said, I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. And then the next verse is Jesus stood up with that woman's dignity intact as she headed away from that crowd that day. He spoke the next verse as he looked at the crowd. Jesus spoke to the people once more and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. In other words, he was saying, what I just did for her, I can do for you. As I reinstated her life, I can reinstate your life. God is not a God of shame. God is not a God of bringing you into the light so he can call you out. He brings you into the light to give you your dignity, to forgive you, and restore you back to being a son and a daughter of God. The stain of sin and shame was brought into the light of his love. She was forgiven, restored, and loved. You remember Morgan? Booted it upstairs. Oh, Dad called her name a few times. Morgan, Morgan. She wouldn't answer. He went upstairs looking for her. He checked all the rooms and he couldn't find her. He looked everywhere and he found her in her bedroom closet, knelt, sitting down with her head down between her knees, sobbing uncontrollably. He wondered what she was thinking at that moment. He put his hand on her back. Does she think I'll get angry? Does she think I'll yell at her? Was she afraid of that I wouldn't love her? They went downstairs together, hand in hand. And Morgan told Mom, it was me. I know I wasn't supposed to be in there, but I had that new pink fingernail polish and I spilt it all over the cushion. She began to sob and she said, I tried to clean it up, but the harder I tried to clean it up, the worse it got, and it got bigger and bigger, and I didn't know what to do, Mommy. I didn't know what to do, and so I flipped it over. I flipped it over. With tears coursing down her cheeks, her big brown eyes looking up, she said, do you still love me? Morgan's mom knelt down beside her on the floor and she whispered in her daughter's ear, Morgan, there's nothing you could ever do to cause me not to love you. Morgan, there's no mess you could make to cause me to not love you. And as she began to reassure her daughter, she whispered, Morgan, I wish we could make the couch white again, but the stain is there. And it always will be. You know, funny thing about Morgan and that stain. Every time somebody came over for a visit, Morgan would come down into the white room where people, the adults would come, and she'd flip over the cushion and tell everybody about the stain. Tell everybody about her story. Why? Because a stain that once represented shame and guilt and fear of rejection now represented love, grace, and acceptance. Morgan had come into the light. Unlike the couch, I've got good news for you this morning. Because Jesus can remove the stains of our life. Nothing more the enemy would want than to lie to you and keep you in the dark. Keep you from receiving the light, the love, and the forgiveness of Jesus. Maybe you came to this service today. Just like that very first Easter. This might be your first Easter in a church. Who knows? Or maybe the first one in a long time. But those first disciples, while it was still dark, they didn't understand. But today, I'm inviting you to receive the understanding as you've heard it today in this message. To hear Jesus say, come, let's talk this over, says the Lord. As he whispers in your ear right now, no matter how deep the stain of your sin, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained with red lipstick, fingernail polish, so deeply stained, something that you are so ashamed of, something you've carried your whole life, I can make you white as wool. If you will only let me help you. I am the light that has come into the world so that all who believe in me will no longer stay in the dark. That's the Easter message. That's what we're celebrating today. You see, Jesus was not only motivated about physical darkness, he was motivated by spiritual darkness. And he went to the cross so that there could be a light that would shine, that the enemy did not get the last say. Jesus busted out of the grave, overcoming sin, overcoming death, overcoming the grave. And he was resurrected so that you and I could have resurrection life. I am the light. You don't have to stay in the darkness. 1 Peter tells us today, you, just like Morgan, God is our Father, our God's special possession. He's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Stay seated while we listen to this song one more time.
Tired of lack into the light, come into the light, and you will find a Savior, gentle and lowly, waiting on the other side. He will meet you gladly, over and over, with loving kindness in his eyes. Come into the light. Do you question how you could trust that his grace is more than enough? There's just one who measures up. Come into the light. Or have you been here a thousand times? Have you started to believe the lie that it's safer for you to hide? Come into the light. Oh, come into the light, and you will find a Savior, gentle and lowly, waiting on the other side.
I wonder this morning if we could have every head bowed and every eye closed in this room just for a moment, a private meditation about what's taking place today in this service. At the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And the spiritual light that we're talking about today, you have to let it. You have to make the decision to say yes to Jesus and come into the light. The story of Easter is that there was a provision for our sin. Maybe you're like the scribes and the Pharisees, and you've tried to be super religious and get things right, but you, if we're honest today, none of us got it right. The Bible says we've all sinned. None of us can cast the stone. We all deserve death. We all deserve eternal death. But Jesus said, "No, I'm motivated by the darkness, and I'm coming into the darkness to bring light." Today, if you are in this service, I'd like to ask you a question. Have you come into the light? Have you received the provision of Easter, Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, and made it your own? Grandma can't do it for you, Mom and Dad. It has to be your relationship with the Lord. He's not angry at you today. He sees you in your darkness, and he's come to you today. We've been praying for this moment that you would hear his voice in your ear saying, "I can remove the stain. Would you let me help you?" In the quietness of this moment, a holy moment, I believe that Jesus is whispering into hearts right now. In fact, the Bible says it's like a door, and he knocks on it, and he says, "Will you let me in?" If you're here today, I'd like to give you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. If you've never invited Jesus into your life, or it's been a long, long time since you've even thought about it, today's your day to receive forgiveness and eternal life. What I'm going to do is, every head's bowed and eyes closed, is simply count down from three, two, and then one. When I reach one, I'd like you to say yes to Jesus by raising your hand. I'll acknowledge your hand, and you can put it down. Then we're going to pray a prayer together. You're going to respond to Jesus and make it your prayer. Everyone in this room is going to pray the prayer, but you're going to make it your prayer today. And as you do, Jesus will forgive, heal, redeem, and touch you in a way you never thought possible deep inside your heart, forgiving your sin and giving you eternal life. If that's you today, come into the light in 3, 2, and 1. Just raise your hand all over this room. Thank you. I see hands. Yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you. There's hands throughout the room, and we want to pray for you. If you raised your hand today, I'd like you to take a next step and pray this prayer with us right now. Dear Jesus, today I know I'm in the dark. I am a sinner, but today I see the light. It's shining in my heart. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive my sin. Jesus, today I receive forgiveness. My stains are washed clean. I have a new beginning. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Today, on Resurrection Sunday, I am raised with you to eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and congratulate those today who made a decision to come into the light. Would you stand with me today? Father, I pray for each and every person in this room today. I thank you for their lives, their represented stories. Lord, I thank you for this amazing Easter weekend. I pray your power, your might, your healing, your redemption. Lord, all that you purchased for us on Calvary would go with each and every one today as we choose to be those. No, we're not in the dark any longer. Now, like the disciples, we believe and we have experienced the resurrection today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have an amazing rest of your weekend.
He is ready for your freedom. Come into the light. He is ready for your healing. Come into the light. He's the God of resurrection. Bring your dead things back to life. Oh, come into to the